Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
We've been talking about, since the elections, a lot has happened. As you know, we're all waiting for the announcement that we're hoping will come through before the end of the week of a cabinet. But in the meantime, there's also been a lot of movement in this, what we have heard as a government of national unity and movements there, collaborations, coalitions, all of that is happening. We also heard from ATM who are saying that they are not leaving the caucus that is between themselves, MK Party and the EFF, the Progressive Caucus. The ATM leader is with us in studio this evening. Vuyo Zungula, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Evening, Pamela, and evening to everyone listening.
Are we right to still imagine that the Progressive Caucus still exists?
It does exist. It's very strong and it is going to do marvelous work in the 7th Parliament.
And what is that mandate? What are you planning to do?
I think, Pamela, let's start by maybe reminding people that we live in a multi-party democracy, whereby when there's a ruling party, the constitution encourages the presence of opposition parties, particularly to prevent and oppose any abuse of power. Now, for the past 29 years, there's only been one ruling party, which is the ANC. Now, in the context of a GNU, all 10 parties that are part of that GNU could be regarded as part of the ruling party, because the arrangements that are there is that some people from these parties are going to be given roles in parliament. Others will be given roles in the executive. We then leaves parties to play a role as being part of the opposition, not being part of the ruling party. Because if all 18 parties go to join the GNU, then it means South Africa will be without any opposition. Then there's no one who's going to guard against any abuse of power, because all 18 parties are effectively part of the governing arrangement.
So the ANC speaks of a strategy that they had was to go to each individual party to engage. They say they spoke to the EFF. I think there were also attempts to speak to the MK party. Did they try to speak to you?
We spoke with the ANC. They outlined the statement of intent. Now, with that statement of intent, we asked some questions there so that we get to understand what exactly are we dealing with. So the first issue is that the statement of intent, it is too broad, it's too philosophical, it is too high level. Because when you elect a government, you elect a government for 5 years. So in 5 years, you need to have practical solutions or practical programs in which you are going to work to. You can't be saying you are going to, part of the objective is job creation. All political parties speak about job creation. The question is how. And how becomes the important now determination whether a party would want to join or not to join. Look, the case now, you've got a DA that is anti-transformation, anti-BEE, anti-affirmative action. Now, you've got also this BA is anti-union. They don't want the unions. They're even wanting to reduce the minimum wage. Now, if you join GNU, with the DA being there, then there's going to be conflict, because what then becomes a policy of government? Because you've got parties at the opposing ends in terms of their policies. So without the specifics and the detail, we said to the ANC, we can't accept. We need to go back to our people, our leadership, to try and understand, to speak to them. But at the manner in which that GNU is structured and the statement of intent is structured, it is making it difficult for us to commit, but especially because it is not detailed enough.
Did they explain to you whether this will be more leaning towards their own policies or the DA's policies when you engage them in that way?
When we engage them that way, they said the statement of intent allows broader discussions, deliberations, etc. But the question that we asked ourselves was to say, you want parties to sign now. Now, when a party signs now, they are committing themselves now towards the operation or the implementation of the statement of intent. Therefore, we can't be signing a blank check, kind of, because none of those things that they've mentioned in the statement of intent are new. If you're to read the constitution, it speaks about non-rationalism, non-sexism, etc. That is what also they are repeating in the statement of intent. So we said there must be detail, and there were days in which they could develop. And our final advice to them was to say, they are going to cause a big conflict in our country if they are going to be taking parties from opposing sides in terms of the policies, because what then becomes government policy? We can't allow a case whereby if a DA Minister of International Relations communicate in this manner on, let's say, the Palestine and Israel issue, the president of the ANC, guided by the resolutions of the ANC, speaks something that is totally different, is going to cause conflict. Because if you're to read even now the letter from Helen Zille, when she speaks about the portfolios they want, they are very adamant that they are going to implement DA policies. Now, what is then going to happen in our country? Does it mean that you're going to have a DA ministry that is implementing DA policies that are opposed to another ministry that is led by someone from another party? So it's going to be conflict and confusion. So we said, let us do things right and let us not rush into signing agreements without getting into the finer detail.
I understand where you're going with all of this and the concerns you have. Did they actually respond at all?
No.
Do you think they already had an agreement which is separate to the statement of intent with the DA, for instance?
Definitely. That is why I think on a Wednesday or Tuesday before the Friday, when members of parliament were going to be sworn in, Tony Leon from the DA was on TV and he made a statement there to say they are in the final stages of the discussions with the ANC. Whereas many parties, including the ones that were part of the Progressive Caucus who ended up going to the GNU, said there was only one initial meeting with the ANC. Now, you can't have a case whereby there's only one initial meeting with almost all parties, but with one part, which is the DA, leaders of the DA are saying that they are towards the end or the finalization of those discussions, which clearly means that it may appear that the ANC was very clear who exactly they want to work with. Now, because they made a commitment to the nation that they are going to consult all parties, they then pretended to be consulting all parties for the sake of ticking a box to say we spoke to all parties. But Bona, they knew they wanted to work with the DA.
Do you think it was only the DA they were sitting in real negotiations with, or another party?
The IFP as well. That is why you find that in KZN, the ANC is working with the IFP. Look at nationally, someone from the ANC nominated the president of ANC to be the president of the country. The nomination was seconded by someone from the IFP. So I can confidently say DA, ANC, DA and IFP were one of with the two parties, two main parties that they were in discussions with the ANC, genuinely. Because with others, you could see that they were just ticking a box. It was not genuine discussions for the sole purpose of wanting to reach a conclusion.
Was there any other offer on the table?
No, not coming to the ATM.
When did you get this offer?
When we met with the ANC, I can't remember the exact date, but it was the Sunday before the Friday in which members of parliament were going to be sworn in. So that is the only time ATM leadership met with the negotiating team of the ANC.
So apart from policy issues that you have, were there any other issues that you would have wanted them to deal with? Did you ever have discussions about positions at all?
No, not at all. We never spoke about positions because for us, we've been very clear, Auspermelo, to say, you know, all of these discussions about the GNU and everything, I think the last, the afterthought becomes what is to be done. Tina, we said in that meeting, the primary discussion should be, this is where the country is now. This is the crisis that we have in the country. This is then the work that we need to do. Not start by, discussing leadership positions, because leadership positions should come after we've actually decided on a way forward. So we as the ATM, we've made it very clear, we're not interested in positions, because positions come and go. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the nature of the crisis that we are facing as a country does not require politicians who are obsessed about power. The crisis requires politicians who are obsessed about a solution. Because can you imagine if we sit together as the parties in parliament to say, here's a crisis and these are the solutions to the crisis when it comes to unemployment, when it comes to crime, all of these problems. And then we say, based on the solutions that we've tabled, this is the people that I think are better suited for these roles. We could say a certain party or a certain leader of a certain party is best suited to champion, for example, the issue of immigration. Another person is best suited to deal with the question of managing SOEs. So in our view, if we're to focus on what needs to be done, and then based on what needs to be done, we look at the capabilities of the 400 members of parliament to decide who then gets to do what based on their abilities. Not a case whereby we start by wanting, because if you check how they were doing it now, their focus as the ANC is to just get over 200 so that they've got a majority in parliament whereby they can vote, elect leaders, etc. But the question is, what then becomes the work of government for the next 5 years?
So those who were in the Progressive Caucus and have since jumped, have they told you why?
They did not speak to us as a caucus.
Yes.
Because as a caucus, we said the ANC is approaching these different parties individually. Mm. And that is disadvantaging the individual parties, because you don't know what the ANC is saying to another party. Let's meet as a bloc and communicate as a bloc to the ANC. Unfortunately, parties after spoke with the ANC as individual parties, and they made their decisions. And we've got no issues when they make those decisions, because at the end of the day, they're independent parties who do things the manner in which they see fit for their own respective parties.
So what holds you guys together, the three parties that are left?
I think it's critically to the understanding of a need to have opposition parties. Because if all parties are running towards being part of the GNU, then it's going to make our democracy, to be weakened, because there's no opposition. And if you check even now, when many people are speaking about the GNU, they're not really asking what then becomes the role of parliament. We know, in the past we've been complaining about how the ANC is abusing its majority to push even illegal things in parliament. Now, when the ANC is speaking, it is proudly boasting that they've got over 70% of the seats in parliament. Then people are not really asking, okay, how is that going to, impact parliament and the work of parliament? You know, in the Zondo Commission of Inquiry, parliament was lambasted by instability or weakness in terms of playing an oversight role. So, Tina, we are saying we want to play that role of being playing an oversight role over the executive, and not just have a case whereby all parties are going to be part of the GNU, because we are going to be weakened as a country.
Except nothing actually holds you together. People can come and go as they please, which they've already been doing. You didn't need to stay in the caucus. People are outside. BOSA, Action SA are not in it. Do you think this unit will stay together?
It is definitely going to stay together. Look, we met for the first time on Thursday, as the vote was going to be on Friday. We discussed on the Friday with a press conference, and then we said we're going to have frequent meetings. Obviously, we're going to be guided by some of the changes that are happening, either people going to the GNU, announcement of cabinet, etc. So it's not a case whereby we are static as a caucus, because we are saying that the caucus comprises of individual parties whereby, from one perspective, we retain our independence as parties, but there are issues that require a broader caucus or broader collaboration of opposition parties in order to hold the executive accountable. You will recall that what made accountability on the Nkandla issue, it was because of a broader collection of opposition parties. Even with Palapala, even though ATM was on the forefront, without the collaboration of opposition parties, would not have gotten where we were. So that is why we are saying that on issues of mutual concern, including also other parties that are not part of this broader caucus, that are also not part of the GNU, we are going to engage with them so that there is real opposition in parliament, not just have a 70% GNU in parliament that is going to push through everything without them being held accountable.
So have you discussed your next sitting? We believe that the EFF has said, the first thing that we want the speaker to look at is the issue of Palapala. Is that something that you're going to be voting on together?
We hope that all parties who voted in 2022, that there must be an inquiry or committee to investigate the conduct of the president in relation to Palapala are going to vote because nothing has changed.
Well, you know the DA is not going to come to the party.
Nothing has changed in terms of that report. So again, so the point here is to actually test the genuineness and the principle of parties. Now, if the DA decides to block that investigation, they can't be seen as anti-corruption because for all these years, they were saying that Parliament must do its work. Here's now an opportunity. So we are presented an opportunity now as a country to see the true colors of leaders. So that is why many people say you'll never see the true colors of a party or a leader up until they taste power. So once the DA and all parties taste power via this GNU, that's how we are going to see the true colors, whether they are going to vote in the same manner they were voting on the issues in the previous parliament, or suddenly, conveniently, they are going to change their stance.
Well, I think you know the answer to that. I think because I've already told us in not so many words that they're going to support the president and they're not going to be busy with motions of no confidence on the president.
You know, when Helen Zille said that they are not going to support the impeachment, you know, for a person who is listening attentively, because she says because there's an agreement, it's part of the agreement or it's part of the deal, which clearly
and she
shows.
She also says we want new information to emerge.
So it shows you that, because I understand the question of emotion of no confidence, because that speaks to the performance of the president. However, when you speak about the impeachment, you're speaking about misconduct and unlawful activity of the president. Therefore, when you come out as a party and you say you are not going to back any form of holding the president accountable for misconduct, then it means you are not the pro-constitution, because on one side they say they are pro-constitutionalism, etc. But it is the very same constitution that actually mandates parliament to actually impeach a president that have committed misconduct. So, and again on the Palapala issue, the report of former Chief Justice Ngcobo, it still stands. It has never been reviewed by anyone. So there's no one who can say that report has been changed by a court of law. So that is why for us it becomes important now for the opposition to actually do its part in terms of holding the executive accountable and expose the parties that maybe have joined the GNU for their own benefit of acquiring ministerial positions, but nothing about the betterment of our society.
Initially, the ANC regarded the GNU as their initiative and they went around inviting everybody in.
Yeah.
And we now have seen the back and forth between themselves and the DA on their understanding of Clause 24. We also know that they came to a point where they said, okay, after this point, we need to now engage everybody in the GNU to invite others in. The DA has been quite clear they don't want the MK party, they don't want EFF. They haven't pronounced on yourselves.
Mm.
If they collectively agree on inviting you back in again, well, they had invited you the first time, would you consider it?
If things have not changed, particularly on what is to be done, because it's one thing to join a GNU, but you don't know exactly the work that is going to be done. Because we want to stress a point to say, people elect a government for 5 years. In 5 years, you don't need to spend 2.5 years as a government trying to ascertain whether what are you going to do to create jobs, etc. For 5 years, when people elect you, they expect you to deliver. They expect you. That is why people have got manifestos. Parties have got manifestos to say, this is how we're going to deal with these particular problems. So in the absence of the how, it is difficult for us to actually join. The second thing is that it is very clear that...
So, if we stick with the issue of the how, their response to the how is that they've got an Indaba coming that will discuss the how.
No, I think that they are being mischievous when they speak about an Indaba, because they are shifting the goalposts. Because if there was an Indaba, they would have said, maybe let's pause the election of the president and the appointment of ministers, because it goes back. You have an Indaba that says, let's take a particular direction. However, the people that you've elected, as parties, they are believing something different from what the Indaba is going to actually bring about. So it becomes problematic. The second reason why we are very, very adamant on not joining is that it is very clear that besides the statement of intent, there are deals that have been signed by the ANC including other parties, for their sole support of being elected as elected as president. Mm. That is why Helen Zille says it is not part of the deal.
Mm.
And it was not part of the statement of intent. Go to Freedom Front Plus and Orania. They are saying that, part of their deals when it comes to Orania, them supporting ANC, is the question of the recognition of Orania. Now, the question would be, what other deals that are not in the public domain that the ANC might have signed? And I want to state a point to say, if then when as a party you join the GNU, not only, yes, you may sign the statement of intent, but also indirectly, you are also playing a role, or you are also indirectly endorsing some of these deals that have been signed by the ANC.
Yeah. Let me take a quick break, and very happy to take those calls on 086-000-0959. I will also take voice notes on 063-688-0959. I'll also look at your exes at Kaya on air, and you can tag me at Pimelo Modene. President of ATM, Vuyo Zungula, is in studio with us. 086-000-0959. You can give us a call. Have your word with him. Did you vote for them? What do you want to ask about the Progressive Caucus? 086-000-0959. The voice notes can come through on 063-688-0959. As I said, the EFF has made it very clear that they would like to see the Palafala issue come to the fore. What does the MK party want to prioritize? As a caucus, I'm sure you're discussing with each other what kind of support you need from one another on what issues.
We've not met yet. Remember, I think they were sworn in yesterday.
Just yesterday, yes.
Yeah, so we've not touched base with them after their swearing in. Also, on the question of Palapala, the DA also spoke at the ROC. They said now that the ANC is under 50%, the Palapala issue must come back. Freedom Front Plus, their leader, also spoke the same thing. So that is why, you know, people must just watch the space and see the true character of the so-called leaders we have in society.
The MK party, though, has disputed the elections.
Yeah.
What's your position on that? As partners with the MK party, are you also for a re-election?
Yeah, definitely. As the ATM, we feel that we view that these elections, there was a lot of manipulation of the results, and there's many things that went wrong when it comes to the management of these elections. I'll make example of a few things. There are cases whereby you have presiding officers actually changing the result slips, whereby if a party gets 400, the ANC or the DA, on the result slip, that is physically changed to 4,000. There are cases whereby what is captured on the result slip is not necessarily what is there on the results on the dashboard in by the IEC. There are cases whereby the Section 24 issue was not properly communicated to the people in a method whereby it would allow people to actually take note of the changes, and then those people do whatever is required. And that is actually infringing on their right to vote, because the right to vote is something that is protected by the Constitution. The last one is the fact that there's so many people that actually went to vote. I want to make mention about ATM voters, people that I did not even know. When we put our notice to say we are going to challenge these results, and we've actually submitted our court papers, there's a guy that tagged me on Twitter. He posts there that this is how we voted in this particular VD. However, when he's looking at the results of that particular VD, ATM has got zero. And he's saying that regardless whether other people voted or not, but him alone, he voted for the ATM, but it is not reflecting. Then that is something that is troublesome to us as a party, because it actually violates the right to vote of South African citizens, because South Africans spent hours waiting, you know, to cast their vote, only for their vote not to be casted. And we know that whenever we bring up this thing of voting, a lot of people say you should have party agents. Or people are going to say, no, you are just crybabies. Meaning they've normalized, or society has normalized, the fact that people can actually vote, but their votes are not going to be counted. That's why other people are saying, but I'm not going to vote, because it is not about the people that vote. It is about the people that count the votes. So we want, in as the ATM, over and above the re-election, but a case of the changing of the composition of the IEC, so that we don't have IEC, especially presiding officers, that align to a certain political party. We do not want what we see now, whereby there's violations of the Electoral Act, but you hardly hear people saying they are arrested for electoral crimes that they've committed during elections. Because even now there are ballot papers that are found missing, there's ballot papers that are found marked. But if you check from 2019, 2021, how many people are actually prosecuted for violating the Electoral Act? Maybe it is one. So those are, amongst others, some of the things we are challenging as a party.
I'd like to take calls. Bongani is calling us from Soweto. Good evening and welcome, Bongani.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to your guest today.
Welcome.
The studio.
Welcome.
Yes. First and foremost, I was listening to the gentleman there expressing about the processes of the election and stuff and all that. I was one of the presiding officers, although I cannot mention why. And what is not true is that there are party agents that are involved during the election and stuff. And of course, they cannot just let any exercise which is unlawful and then would that take place there. But my question actually is this one. The ATM couldn't join the GNU, and I would like to know, did they not join the GNU based on the choice or the circumstance? If it's based on the choice, what could be their reason for their choice? And if it's in a circumstance, what are they seeing based on the other parties that have joined the GNU? Will it work for South Africans or will it not?
We think the GNU is not going to work for South Africa, particularly because it is formed or founded on the basis of ideological and policy opposed parties, whereby when you have a government, in our view, you have a singular government. You do not have a federal government whereby one minister in this particular department is going to do this, another minister in another department is going to do the complete opposite. But when you look at how the GNU is formed, there is no basis of policy similarities, because it would be much better if the parties that were spearheading this had similarities in terms of policy, because it would have meant that there's going to be consistency and certainty when it comes to the policy direction of the country. And we always make, as a party, this example, the question of Palestine and Israel and the BRICS, in fact, international relations. And you saw the letter from DA, they want that ministry. What then becomes our international
positions
on many issues? Is it going to be the DA? Or is it going to be what we've always been having, which is from the ruling party? So those are the things that we think in as the ATM are the basis for failure, because there's not even a case whereby it seems as if, because if there was policy similarities, then the way forward was going to be much simpler because there's alignment. Mm. But in cases whereby there's opposition in terms of policy, look another issue, Auspemel, NHI. DA said it's going to go to court to challenge the NHI. You've got the ANC on one side that spearheaded it. So they're going to court to defend the NHI. What then becomes the position of government? Because the very same government, one minister there, maybe let's say John becomes the deputy president. Deputy president goes to court to challenge NHI. Upper Minister of Health maybe comes from the ANC, goes to court to defend NHI. What, we're going to be a laughing stock and we're going to collapse as a country.
Busi's on the line. Busi's in Johannesburg. Busi, good evening and welcome.
Good evening and thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
Good evening to our ATM leader,
yes,
in studio. I just have just two very quick questions. The first one is, I'm curious if they support the petition that's currently going around and being advocated and proposed by the MK party regarding election results, considering that ATM itself claimed in court papers that votes were stolen and the IEC manipulated the voting process. Moreover, if they aren't a part of the GNU, are they essentially, as an organization, as a party, part of the Progressive Caucus? And if yes, what are the fundamental agreements amongst the members in light of the PAC and Al-Jamaa leaving the Progressive Caucus to join the ANC, and the ANC now having possible discussions with the EFF and MK after the DA's demands came out most recently. Lastly, I just want to find out if they support the current petition against Andilemke Thama, who is a new MP under the MK party. And this petition is particularly around him, being or making public declarations that people consider to be hate speech and racism that are very disturbing and advocate for genocide. So what is ATM's position with regards to those two petitions? And also, what is their current, situation in relation to the Progressive Caucus, in relation to the renegotiations that are currently happening, considering the DA's outrageous demands?
Okay, we are part of the Progressive Caucus. When it comes to Andilemke Thama, there is a court order which actually cleared him that it is not hate speech. On the question of the negotiations between the ANC and the other parties, the ANC is free to talk to everyone and anyone that they want to talk to. Ours as a party and part of the Progressive Caucus is always to make parties to see the bigger picture, not to have parties that are only going to go and want to be part of the ruling arrangement because maybe there's opportunities in terms of ministerial positions or presiding officer positions in parliament. We've stated that we met only the Thursday before the elections, and we had not had gone extensively in terms of discussing extensively as the caucus is to say, this is, besides holding the executive accountable, this is what we are going to push in this term. So once we get to do that, we're going to definitely come to the public and communicate our positions.
The GNU is led by the ANC. Who's leading the Progressive Caucus?
We've not finalized that.
Well, the press briefing had, we had this impression that the MK party was.
No. MK has not attended any briefing. You recall that in Parliament, in Cape Town on the Friday morning, it was EFF, ATM, PAC, Al Jamaa, and UDM and UAT. That is the Progressive Caucus at the time.
Okay.
Then the UDM.
Go back to when the MK party called a press briefing at the Rock after the announcements of the result. And you were all there, led by MK party, when former President Jacob Zuma spoke about the fact that they reject the results.
Yeah.
We were not hearing the name Progressive Caucus, yes, but there seemed to be quite support for what he was saying and issues that you're raising that he raised as well. That seemed like it was led by them.
No, it's two separate processes. There is the parties that spoke at the Rock that were challenging. I think it's 26 parties that were challenging the outcome of the elections.
Yes.
Now, those parties, most of them, in fact, almost all of them, they are not in Parliament.
Yes, they're not. Sarah and others. Yes.
So the ones that are in Parliament are the ones I highlighted where we said, we even issued a statement with the logos of these different parties, and we clearly stated this is the Progressive Caucus. Up until now, the MK, I think, on a certain Sunday, had then a press briefing, including those parties, to say when they get to Parliament, one of their intentions is to join the Progressive Caucus.
Yes.
So they are joining the Progressive Caucus.
Okay, so basically it's based on should there be a re-election and should they get seats, then they will join the Progressive Caucus.
No, I think they said now that they have taken a decision to be sworn in as members of Parliament. Remember in the first sitting they did not go.
You're speaking about the MK party, yes.
Yeah. So they said now that they have changed their position, they are now going to go to Parliament.
Yes.
Part of the things they're going to do in Parliament is to join the Progressive Caucus.
The MK Party. The MK Party is joining the Progressive Caucus. So is there a leader? You said there's no leader?
That's why I was saying that we spoke, we never spoke about who leads what, who does what. We said that
Who leads the agenda?
We are quite knowledgeable and adaptable parties. We very much were able to call each other to say, here's an issue, let's meet. When we meet there, we just discuss and find solutions to whatever that we're going to meet. However, we did highlight that after this transitional phase, because everyone now is unsettled about GNU, appointment of ministers, etc., we are definitely going to sit down and then we're going to be able to answer all of these questions about the modalities of the Progressive Caucus, the fundamentals and other issues, so that we are able to put a complete picture into the citizens as to, over and above holding the executive accountable and playing our role as opposition, this is what we are going to do as a Progressive Caucus.
Then there is the likelihood that they may not join. They don't need you. They've got enough seats.
Like we've stated, and also they do appreciate that alone as a party there, you are limited in terms of holding the executive accountable. So it works that there is a caucus that you are able to be part of in order to be able to push your positions. So it's a case of all parties that are there in parliament, they need each other. So whether we like it or not, the Progressive are going to line up one side. AMA GNU are going to line up on the other side. And the people, the other parties, I know from case to case, they did, one party said from case to case, there are going to be cases whereby they're going to be supportive of the Progressive Caucus, other cases whereby they're going to be supportive of the GNU. So that is the manner in which Parliament is going to work in this term.
All right. So what's the plan? What's the plan going forward? The IEC has said today, in fact, they went and presented their case to the Electoral Court saying that what the MK party, now they didn't say the Progressive Caucus, they said the MK party specifically. The numbers that they got from the MK party don't make sense. They don't add up. They don't have real tangible evidence. Did you actually submit anything?
What we've submitted in terms of our papers was over and above the issues I highlighted earlier, was an analysis that was done by our party liaison member, committee member of the in the IEC, that had information as in many voting districts in Northern Cape whereby there was this gross manipulation of results. And the point that we're making there is that we may not as a party have the resources, or no party may have the resources to actually do that for the entire 24,000 VDs. But that sample that we provided in Northern Cape is enough for the court to actually look at it. And in our case, we've already been given a case number, meaning that when the court was listening or reading the merits, they said, okay, there's merits to the case and the case could be heard. So we are going to wait for the court to give us a date. Maybe it's going to be now in July.
Okay.
And then we're going to fully explain our issues in court.
So at least you did do a formal submission. You made a formal submission. Yeah. So, okay. We've got Kabza, who's calling also from Joburg.
Hello.
Kabza, hi. Good evening and welcome.
I'm working myself.
I'm good. Welcome, man.
Yeah. I just want to ask Mr. Zungula two things. Mr. Zungula, can you touch on the issue, where did the majority of ANC in KwaZulu-Natal go to? The majority of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, they were getting over 50 to 65 in KwaZulu-Natal. Where did those votes go? And then forget about the election itself. Touch on the issue of how the seats were allocated. An issue of the seats being allocated in the parliament, it's got something to do with the region and everything. So it looks to me that the election itself was not the intentions of the outcome. The seats were already allocated accordingly. Thank you, sir.
So you also think that things were robbed?
No, things has always been wrong.
All right.
So it's just now that it came to the fore to say, okay, something is wrong here now.
All right. Gabza also says...
It's always been like that.
Yeah.
No, it has always been like that, but the allocation of the seats, it only leaves so much to be desired.
Thanks, Gabza.
Yeah, there's so much. You'll recall that even one party actually wrote to the IEC to say there's a party with only 35,000 votes, they get two seats. Another party with 73,000 votes, they also get two seats. So how is that?
That has always been an issue.
Yeah. So there's so much that we think as a party over and above challenging these results, but there needs to be like a proper inquiry into the workings of the IEC.
The formula needs to, everybody has spoken about the formula itself.
The formula, the appointment of presiding officers, including the IT companies that are actually gathering all of this information. Because from time to time, there needs to be transparency on the question of how elections are managed in our country. Not have a case whereby it is secret. And it goes back to what we stated earlier. The question of malpractice or corruption or wrong things happening during the elections have happened so long to an extent whereby people think it is normal. So part of our challenge is to actually say, but we're not supposed to be having such cases. One caller spoke about he's the presiding officer and their party agents. But our call to as the ATM is to say, regardless whether ATM has got a party agent or does not have a party agent, we must trust that that presiding officer is going to fulfill what is required by the Electoral Act, protect all votes, regardless whether the party agent of party A, party B is not there. Mm. Not have a case whereby if you do not have a party agent as a party, chances are your votes are not going to be counted. Then it raises questions about the independence of the IEC and the role of the presiding officers.
Really appreciate you coming through. Thank you so much, ATM leader there, who's just explaining their position as a member of the Progressive Caucus. And, you know, obviously we're all waiting for those results to be brought through, the president to announce cabinet, so we'll wait and see. But they've clarified the position. The president, as ANC, did speak to them. However, it was very brief, they say, and they are not going to be joining the GNU. They stay with the Progressive Caucus. So that is Vuyo Zungula, who's the ATM president.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.